Real World Radio is interviewing Alberto Villarreal. He is part of the economic justice team of Redes, Friends of the Earth Uruguay, and he's also the co-coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean of the Economic Justice and Resisting Neoliberalism Program of Friends of the Earth International. Alberto, really welcome to Real World Radio.
Thank you, Jose. It's a pleasure to be back with the Real World Radio and its audience.
Okay, Alberto, on last Friday, the Uruguayan president, Tabaré Vázquez, announced officially that the International Center for Settlement of Investment Disputes, the World Bank Tribunal, had a verdict absolutely in favor of Uruguay in the international legal case against the tobacco American company Philip Morris. How did you receive the news in Redes, Friends of the Earth, Uruguay, Alberto?
Well, we received it with a lot of joy, naturally, no? Because it has been a quite long procedure, no? 6 years it took for the tribunal to make its decision, no? And it was a little bit unexpected, actually, that it would be such a favorable decision for Uruguay, no? In the previous time, no? Our assessment and even the president's assessment 1 day before the issuing of the verdict of the tribunal, no? Was that Uruguay would perhaps win in most of the points, no? Actually, the president said 12 of the 14 points, no? Would be won by Uruguay. But that the tribunal decided totally in favor of Uruguay was a great victory, undoubtedly, for Uruguay, its people, no? And most and foremost, no? For the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, the only multilateral agreement, public health multilateral agreement signed and ratified by almost 180 countries, no, in the realm of the World Health Organization. So that's a big victory for public health internationally.
Okay, Alberto. At the same time, in a press release launched on Sunday, Redes, Friends of the Earth Uruguay, said that the legal case initiated by Philip Morris, as you said, in 2010, had some chilling effects, not only for the country, but also for the other countries around the world, in terms specifically of the absolute implementation of the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control of the World Health Organization. Can you explain that, Alberto? What did you think? What do you think that happened in the different parts of the world, and particularly in Uruguay, that you are saying, as Redes, Friends of the Earth Uruguay, of the chilling effects of this legal case initiated by Philip Morris?
Jose, no, obviously, I mean, one cannot deny the great victory that this case has, the great political victory, no, that this case has meant for us, no. But undoubtedly, I mean, and as we contend, actually, the case is that states never win in international arbitration, in international investment arbitration, no, because even in cases such as this, when the tribunal has said that the transnational corporation that made that challenged the, in this case, Philip Morris International, that challenged our legislation, must even pay for the costs of the proceedings, no? I mean, even in such a case, no, Uruguay has had to pay part of the costs. Uruguay paid the proceedings costed Uruguay $10+ million, no? The tribunal said that Philip Morris has to reimburse seven of those millions to Uruguay, no? So Uruguay will still have to pay almost $3 million for its defense, no? So there's a financial cost, no? Small, I mean, comparatively to what the transnational was demanding from the very beginning. I mean, from the very beginning when it was threatening, no? it was threatening to sue for $2.5 billion. No, then after all public criticism of this case, no, they went down to $25 million, no? And so I mean $2 or $3 million that Uruguay will be paying for the case is not a big amount compared to that, but it's still a financial amount, no? And but besides those financial costs, there are other costs that are almost more important than that small financial cost. No, in this case, I mean, the challenge by Philip Morris International has had a chilling effect, both in Uruguay and abroad, on tobacco legislation. No, in compliance with the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, that mandates to have incremental legislation, not to avoid tobacco diseases, tobacco related diseases, no, and that was what Uruguay was implementing. But once the challenge by Philip Morris came into effect, and the ICSID took care of initiating the case and discussing the case, no, Uruguay was threatened. Uruguay, I mean, had already legislation in Parliament, you know, that would, for example, prohibit the exhibition of tobacco products in the sales points, you know? And this legislation, which could have been approved already perhaps in 2010, you know, was only approved at the end of 2014, because of the case undergoing case, no, and most probably on advice by the defense advocates, no, or that were defending Uruguay, no, that advised Uruguay not to enact new legislation until the case had been resolved, no. Okay, this happened earlier than the cases had been resolved, but yet it was it could have been enacted much earlier, no? Not in 2014, but perhaps in 2010. Additionally, the President Tabaré Vázquez, now on its second mandate, who was originally the one that enacted the tobacco legislation in 2005, that Philip Morris International was challenging, no? Promised already in his campaign for presidency, for the second term, now in presidency, he announced that he would move swiftly and enact new legislation, you know, on plain packaging, you know, which is the most progressive, so to say, policy regarding tobacco control products, you know, or tobacco control legislation. And this has happened to me. He has now gone into his second year of his mandate, and that hasn't happened. Either presumably waiting for this for the results of this tribunal and the challenge of Philip Morris against Uruguay. No? So I mean, there's a lot of other non-financial impacts that need to be taken into account beyond Uruguay. I mean, we know, and it is stated even in the report of the decision of the tribunal, no, that other countries, including Paraguay, Costa Rica, and New Zealand, no, who wished to enact similar legislation to that of Uruguay, no, were convinced not to do so, no. Because they feared that they would be challenged also by the corporation, by Philip Morris or other transnational tobacco corporations, no, if they did so, no. So they were waiting to see the outcome of this tribunal, no, and so in that regard also having a chilling effect on their legislation for several years, no, beyond the tobacco sector, no? In Uruguay. Other policies. I mean, actually, the Philip Morris case against Uruguay opened the floodgates, no, for many other investors, no, in Uruguay, international investors in Uruguay, foreign investors in Uruguay, no, to challenge or to threaten Uruguay with taking it to international tribunals, four different progressive legislations that our governments, now the third progressive Frente Amplio government, no, were thinking. No, I mean, there's several examples. No, the very well-known case of the pulp mill conflict with Argentina. No, that involved, for example, a threat by the then Finnish corporation Botnia. No, that if the president allowed for a extension of the period, let's say for a thinking period, no, to see if there were other alternatives where to place this pulp mill, no, instead of giving the permit to go immediately into construction of the pulp mill, no, Botnia, then the owner of the contracts, no, threatened of suing Uruguay in international tribunals, according to the Finland Uruguay bilateral investment treaty. Later on, port operations transnational corporation Catoen Nati from Belgium also threatened to sue Uruguay if Uruguay moved forward in calling for a tender for a new terminal for port operations, that would not be a monopoly of this transnational corporation, but that would be open to tender. No, they threatened also. No, later on, PharmaShop, also a transnational corporation in the pharmaceuticals sector, no, selling medical products, not to the public. No, they also threatened Uruguay of suing it because of regulations it wanted to enact, constraining the amount of pharmacies, no, that a single owner could own and operate, no. So there are many threats that have been followed, that followed after the Philip Morris case against Uruguay, no, which, as I was saying, opened the gates for all these cases, no? And all of these threats actually have had some success in their intention of delaying the legislation or outright annulling it, no.
Exactly, Alberto. I would like to ask you, as it seems that the legal case initiated by Philip Morris set a precedent which led to other corporations in the country to threaten with international legal cases or to try to initiate those legal cases in international centers for dispute of these kind of differences among states and corporations. It is true that we can think that this case and especially the Uruguay's victory can set a precedent to for those governments, those countries that you mentioned before, Alberto, that also wanted to have some specific decisions in terms of tobacco control, and we're waiting about the Uruguayan case and what happened with that.
Jose, the truth is that, in legal terms, all these investment arbitration tribunals, they don't operate by precedent, no? So they don't care about legal precedents in other cases, no? They are taken as single a single cases on its own terms, no? So they are not obliged, as in normal tribunals, no, to look at legal precedents from other similar cases. No, they don't do that. No, or they are not obliged to do that, and they often don't do that. Actually, the cases that often very similar cases, no, are decided totally in contradiction with each other, no, because they don't take into account legal precedent, no. So that's in legal terms, but definitely in political terms, no. As I was saying, this is nevertheless a huge victory, you know, for Uruguay and for the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, and it does actually open in the opposite direction, open the floodgates, you know, for many other countries that want to enact stringent tobacco control legislation, no, to do so now, no, because okay, now they know that even if a corporation sue, no, that they have a good chances of winning, no, in terms of, because the political debate, I mean, since 2010 onwards, no, has been so heated against, and there's a public rage, no, against this investor-state dispute settlement mechanisms that provide for investors and allow investors to sue states for public interest policies. No, I mean, that has meant that the corporations are kind of in the defensive, no, on that regard. And even if you read the Philip Morris International's press release after the verdict by the tribunal was issued, no, they almost excused themselves at the very end of their statement, saying, well, so now by now, at this time now, no, we don't have any investor state dispute settlement claims with any other country, no, kind of exculpating themselves, no, for what they did initially to Uruguay, then also to Australia, according to a Hong Kong-Australia bilateral investment treaty, previously to Norway, no, according to other trade rules, no, European trade rules, and the like, no. So it has become for corporations such as Philip Morris like a hot potato that they really want to get rid of, no. And also that is perhaps the case for the ICSI tribunal itself, no. I mean, the fact that they ruled against Philip Morris in all the points, no, even unexpectedly, you know, as I was saying, no, the expectation was that legal people were saying that perhaps they would be, that the tribunal would give the reason to Philip Morris in a couple of cases, no, that didn't happen, no, because the ICSID also wants to, or the investment regime as such also wants to wash the bad face and the bad propaganda they have gotten, no, over investor state dispute settlement in the last years, no, including, and most importantly now, for example, in the discussions of new free trade agreements, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership, no, and the Transatlantic, the TTIP, the Transatlantic FTA, as well, no, where this is one of the very heated dispute points, the investor state dispute settlement mechanisms.
Okay, Alberto, that seems to be part of the background or the big background of all this case. What is Redes asking for in terms of the other bilateral investment treaties or free trade agreements signed by the country, which have sections which include the private international tribunals to solve the disputes between companies and states, Alberto?
No, Jose, what we are actually demanding is now that the fireworks of the celebration of the Uruguayan victory begin to fade, no? That it is time to really begin, and that this should be a call to review all bilateral investment treaties, no? That Uruguay has signed, no? To first to audit them, to evaluate them, no? As Ecuador has done and established an official audit commission of its bilateral investment treaties, and to audit them, evaluate them, and review them, and whenever it is considered feasible and needed, not to annul and to cancel all those bilateral investment treaties, as it is provided for in those treaties themselves, no, because unlike free trade agreements between many countries, no, these bilateral investment treaties, no, they provide, I mean, they have a life length, which is in most cases 10 years or 15 years, no, so that after a period of 10 years after ratification, no, they can be cancelled, no, that is provided for in the letter, let's say, in the text of those bilateral investment treaties, no, they can be cancelled, or or they are ratified automatically or through another process, no? They need to be ratified after 10 or 15 years, no? So what we are calling is that, yes, please, we need to make an audit, an evaluation of the treaties, no? If needed, make a revision. We believe all of them need either to be revised, renegotiated, or cancelled, no? In most of the cases, no? As India has announced today that they have cancelled all their, 57 of their bilateral investment treaties, included with all European countries. They have cancelled the bilateral investment treaties, no? So that's what we are demanding from our government, no? Because we cannot go on exposing ourselves to cases such as the Philip Morris case, or to threats of cases that always have an impact on a chilling effect, or almost always have a chilling effect on our legislation, no? So that's in a nutshell what we are demanding.
Okay, it was Alberto Villarreal, part of the economic justice team of Redes Friends of the Earth Uruguay, co-coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean of the Economic Justice and Resisting Neoliberalism program of Friends of the Earth International. Alberto, you have been very kind. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Jose. Looking forward to talk to Radio Mundo Real soon again. Goodbye.